Hello, this is Jaden Finder. We want to thank you for listening today. We would love to connect with you on social media. Now let's go into the live message.
Acts chapter 19, verse 1. Somebody say, keep your hopes up. I want to keep that in your mind for these next 6.5 months. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said to them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost or not. We are continuing our series, Since You Believe. And I want to make everyone in the room and online responsible with this next statement. You'll never be able to get to heaven and say, I never knew there was a Holy Ghost. You'll never be like these disciples and say, I didn't know that we had access to the Spirit of God. You're at Living Way Church. We're a Spirit-fed, Spirit-led, Spirit-filled church. And I want you to live in the abundance of Christ. And that can only happen with the power of the Holy Spirit. Tell the closest person next to you, the Holy Spirit has changed my life. You may be seated. Just a couple things to catch us up. The Spirit on you, the Spirit in you is something completely different. I know a lot of people that have the Spirit on them, but they don't have the Spirit in them. I want to be a carrier, and I want you to be a carrier of the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. I want to be a carrier of that Spirit, because if I'm carrying resurrection power inside of me as a believer, it doesn't matter what happens, doesn't matter who happens, doesn't matter where or when the enemy wants to show up, I've got a power that has already proven that it can defeat the adversary and bring resurrection life to believers. This is what Jesus said about the Holy Spirit. He said, he that believeth on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus said it comes from the inside out for those of us that believe on Jesus as the word of God, as scripture has said, which leads me to the point, which I didn't make 2 weeks ago when we first read this scripture, is that if you believe on Jesus as the scripture has said, you don't even have to ask for the Holy Spirit. It's going to consume your life. It's going to fill your life. And I know people that have been in church services that no one's laid their hand on their head. Nobody's come to the altar, but they received the Holy Ghost right where they're sitting in their seat. A couple years ago, I think it was COVID year, we had a gentleman that met me in the lobby after service and said, I've been saved for 30 years of my the last 30 years I've been saved, but I've never received the Holy Ghost. But he said, during the altar call today, I was sitting on the back row at Living Way. He said, I had my hands uplifted, and before I knew it, I started speaking in another tongue. Why? Because somewhere along in the message that day and in the presence of God, he believed on Jesus as the scripture has said, and when he lifted his hands to heaven, God said, all right, here's my Holy Spirit. So I want to encourage you, if you believe Jesus, as the Word of God states, you will be filled with the Holy Ghost. What is internally believed will be externally expressed. If you really believe in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the evidence of the Holy Spirit, in the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, that was given in Acts chapter 1 and verse 2, I believe we are going to see it externally expressed. There are so many people that say they are followers of Jesus Christ, but their walk betrays their talk. They say that they love Jesus. They check the box on a questionnaire that I am a Christian, but when it really comes down to it, their walk does not match their talk. Can I encourage you? Before you talk it, why don't you walk it? That way, when you talk it, your walk matches your talk. So if you say, I believe in the Spirit of God, I believe in the power of God, then there should be an external expression of that power at work in you, on you, around you, but most importantly, through you. We talked about the Holy Spirit gives power. The Holy Spirit teaches and reminds, which is where we left off last session. The Holy Spirit translated into the Greek is the word parakletos. It means the helper, the advocate, and the counselor. I left this out last week, but I thought it'd be prudent to share today because me and a friend were talking about this today. If the Holy Spirit is a counselor, why do we need any other counselors? Why would you believe what I say more than what the Spirit says? So for you to need counseling, you need somebody else to hear from the Spirit for you and then give you what the Spirit is saying. I'm not anti-counseling, but I'm saying, why would you come to the middleman when you can go straight to God and have His Spirit counsel you? And can I just go on and just say this? If you're Spirit-fed and Spirit-led, perhaps you would need less counseling. If we heard the word of God that caused us to believe on Jesus, as the scripture has said, and we are filled with the Holy Ghost. If we are filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'm not talking about speaking in tongues on Sunday. I'm talking about the Spirit at work in our lives on Monday morning and Tuesday afternoon. If the Spirit is really moving, if the Spirit is really advocating, helping, teaching, and counseling us, why do we need a lesser counselor? I knew it was going to get quiet there because we're in a culture where everybody wants therapy and everybody, I'm going to save you $125 an hour. And listen, I'm not against therapy. I'm not against you meeting with a psychiatrist if that's what you think, but I'm here to tell you there is a friend, there is a helper, there is a Spirit that not just wants to talk you through things, there's a Spirit that wants to transform you from the inside out, wants to transform you so that you can transform your situation. You can lay there on the couch and talk about what your dad did, your stepdad did 25 years ago, or you can stand here today and talk about what Father God did for you when He sent His Spirit. Who or what do you need counseling about that the Spirit cannot counsel you? And I'm telling you from a place, we offer counseling at Living Way. When you become a member here, it becomes available to you. If you need premarital counseling, we are here for you. If you need postmarital counseling, we are here for you. If you did in fact receive premarital counseling. I was getting quiet. Maybe I should just go back to my notes. Why is it we spend so much time planning a wedding but not a marriage? Why is it we spend so much time building a nursery for our kids and not a faith environment for our kids? Why is it so important that we make sure our kids have the best shoes and the best phones, but there's not a Bible to be seen on any nightstand in the entire house? And you say, oh, they have it on their phone. I'm not talking about just a Bible and an app. I'm talking about you teach those concepts, precepts. I'm encouraging you to train your children, build your marriage, build your house on the Spirit of God, and we will need less counseling. I am pro-counseling, but I'm even more pro-spirit. You say, man, that's kind of a tough thing because I'm seeing somebody and I'm paying them $150 an hour. Listen, if that's what you think you need to do, keep doing it. But I'm big on miracles, but I also believe this. If we trusted God more, we would not need as many miracles as we pray for. We would not need God to bring a miracle if we would just daily walk with Him and have daily bread. So my question is who's counseling you? The Holy Spirit? You say, well, I don't have the Holy Spirit. Then He's not counseling you. See, I'm Spirit-fed and Spirit-led. The Holy Ghost so many times is saying, don't do that. Don't say that. Here's how to fix that situation. Don't go there. Don't get in relationship with them. That's going to be a bad business partner. You need to spend more time in the Word of God. You need to stop. You need to go. You need to pick up the pace. You need to pray a little more. The Holy Ghost is always counseling me. We take counseling from almost everybody. Some of us would rather listen to Oprah than the Holy Spirit. Some of us would rather listen to Dr. Phil than the Holy Spirit. I am here to tell you that the Holy Spirit will never lead you wrong. The Holy Spirit is undefeated in messages sent and counsel, advice, and godly wisdom given. Dr. Phil is not undefeated. Oprah is not undefeated. But there is a spirit that is in you that knows the end from the beginning. So when you ask the Spirit for information, the Spirit is not telling you what it thinks you should do. The Spirit says, this is where you're going to be in 2025. So in 2023, in June, if you do this, you're going to be prepared when that season comes. Since we're already here, let me just make a couple more statements that might make people uncomfortable. If somebody has been divorced two or three times, do not listen on their advice about marriage. Do not listen to advice about somebody who has no kids who has raised a bunch of demon-possessed kids. If it has not worked for them, why would it work for you? And I know the cute thing is, well, I can learn what not to do from them. Why would you need to learn what not to do when you can get counsel on what to do and you never have to learn what not to do from somebody who is still trying to figure out the process and the way it works? When you don't have to do any of that, you can park yourself under the Holy Spirit, have the Holy Spirit leading, guiding, and directing you, and it will change everything. I shared a couple months ago, I'll share it again real quick here, that in when I turned 18, I started investing in the stock market, and his name will remain anonymous, but this was before, man, I hate to age myself like this, but this is before the internet really took off. And so when we were buying and selling stock, my brother and I and my family, we'd have to actually pick up a phone, and we'd have to call and say, I want you to buy this many shares at this much price, and call me if it dips below this. And we're calling every day to our fund manager, and I remember that when I was 18 years old, I lost about $3,500 on a bad tip from the professional investor. And while I was lamenting about my bad tip from the investor to my mom, and I was thinking my mom was going to, you know, stroke my ego, it'll be okay, son. And what I was really hoping is that she'd say, I'll give you $3,500. That didn't happen. Not only did she not stroke my ego and make me feel better, she said, did you pray about it? So what do you mean, did I pray? Did I pray about the loss? She said, no, did you pray about the pick? I said, well, no, I talked to the professional. Yeah, but the professional just lost you $3,500. Maybe if you had prayed and asked the Holy Ghost, is Dollar General or Disney, which one is the one I should get? And those were the two that I was choosing between, and I didn't choose Dollar General. And if I had chosen Dollar General, it would have turned into like $20,000. I'm not bitter about it. I'm just thinking about what I could have done. And that's just a money. That's just an investment. You could save yourself a divorce by letting the Spirit choose your mate, tell you who to date. You could save yourself a pink slip. You could get promoted three times at the job you didn't even know about, but instead of asking the Holy Ghost, you say, well, I went to school, and this is my wheelhouse. Let me tell you something. Your wheelhouse doesn't mean anything to the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost knows what's going to happen on that job, in that situation. For those of you that are following that follow professional golf, isn't this crazy what is happening with the PGA? The PGA, some of these guys, Tiger Woods turned down $800 million when the LIV, the Saudis, said that they were starting their professional golf association. He turned down $800 million to be faithful to the PGA, only for a few months later for the Saudis and for the PGA to combine and merge their leagues. Tiger lost $800 million. I thought $3,500 was bad. You say, well, is Tiger led of the Holy Spirit? I don't think so, because Tiger is a self-proclaimed Buddhist. The spirit of Buddhist doesn't talk. Buddha doesn't talk. Buddha is dead. Buddha never rose again. At the end, Buddha said, I don't know truth. I'm still searching for truth. Our God said, I am the way. I am the truth. Truth is not a way. Truth is not just something. Truth is someone. And when you know Jesus and you have his spirit, now you have his counsel. So who's counseling you? Let's move on. The Holy Spirit convicts. Somebody say conviction. We get this wrong a lot in Western church. Conviction. There's a power in conviction. I love conviction. Conviction in the Western world has a dirty connotation, or at least a negative connotation, because we get our word convicted or convicted of a crime or a convicted criminal. We tie those two together, but conviction is a powerful tool from the Holy Spirit. Remember, the speaking in tongues is the sign and evidence of the Holy Spirit, but the purpose of the Holy Spirit is power, it's to teach and guide, and here it is to convict. John chapter 16, verse 7, I love this in the NLT. But in fact, it is best for you that I go away. This is what Jesus said. Jesus said, you want me to physically stay on this earth, but it is best for you if I go away. Because if I don't go away, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him, the Spirit, to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but you walk after the Spirit. Can I encourage you that if you said yes to Jesus, then you say no to condemnation? The enemy cannot make you feel a certain way about your past and about the sin that is under the blood. And condemnation is a tool and a weapon the adversary uses to keep you where you are. But I am here to tell you, conviction is a gift from the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit convicts you, it is wanting to change you. Condemnation says you are wrong and you can't get right. Condemnation is born of the adversary. Condemnation is a weapon that Satan uses to get you to backslide or to stay stuck. The Spirit never condemns. Condemnation says you're wrong and you cannot get right. Anyone who tells you that is being used of the adversary. I don't care if you've committed murder. I don't care if you've raped someone. I don't care if you followed a false god for 50 years. When you said yes to Jesus and you asked him to cover you with his blood and you asked God for forgiveness, who you used to be and what you used to do is now under the blood. And Satan cannot bring it back. And while I was thinking and praying on this text this week, I love this. The Bible says that Satan accuses the brothers and sisters every day. He goes to heaven and says, hey, God, remember Brandon has done this. Hey, Brandon has done this. But remember this, anything that I have asked God for forgiveness has been put under the blood. That means when the devil talks about it, he brings a bloody accusation to God, which reminds God, no, Satan, that one is under the blood. It's dripping with redemption. It's dripping with grace. It's dripping with redemption. Remember when Brandon was 17 and he did this? He said, I don't remember that, but what you're holding is covered in my blood. I can't see what you see. I can't hear what you heard. It is under the blood. Can I encourage you today? There is no condemnation for believers. Well, Pastor, you don't know what I did. I don't have to know what you did because I know what he has done. I don't have to know what you did in the hotel room. I don't have to know what you did in the clinic down the street. I don't have to know what you did when nobody was watching, because I know what Jesus did when the world was watching. He hung on a cross so that condemnation could never be used as a weapon. There is now no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. Church, are you in Christ Jesus? Because if you're in Christ Jesus, there's no condemnation. Conviction, just like condemnation, it says you are wrong. But conviction says you can get right. Conviction not only tells you you can get right, conviction shows you the way to get right. Condemnation is born of the adversary, but conviction is born from the Spirit of God. Conviction is a tool that God uses to lead us to his presence, to lead us to repentance, to move us forward, and to get us back on track and to fortify our faith. The Spirit never condemns, but the Spirit always convicts. I said it last week, and I'd never said it before, and I put it in my notes in case I ever want to write about this or preach it somewhere else, that the world has this word called trigger. And they're triggered over everything. They're really not triggered. They're being condemned. They're experiencing condemnation. Listen, I don't want to condemn anyone in their sin. They were already condemned. I don't want to make anyone feel like they are less than and they can never get to where God has called them to be. But I do want to be a vessel of conviction. I know what it's like to stand with my peers from high school at weddings and at funerals now and at class reunions and have everybody drinking, and I'm standing there with a sweet tea in my hand, and I understand what it's like for them to drop F-bombs and then apologize to the preacher. It's not my position that causes them to do that. It's not my position that causes them to act that way. It is the conviction of the Holy Spirit that Brandon is not like us, and I'm not better than them. I just have God's Spirit, and so it literally causes them to act a certain way, talk a certain way, and change the way they are when I show up. They drop an F-bomb or something else, and then they apologize to me, and I'm quick to say, don't apologize to me. You took his name in vain. Apologize to him, not me. They tell a dirty joke. What, Fender, you don't think that's funny? No, I don't think it's funny. You're on your third marriage. You shouldn't be joking about relationships. Maybe if you took your relationship serious, you say, do you say those kind of things? Do you not know me? I want to bring a convicting presence of God that you and I are not the same. But we can be. You're struggling? The Spirit of God is going to lead you to the answer. And I am a carrier. You are a dispenser and a carrier of that Spirit. The Spirit does not condemn, but the Spirit convicts every day. The Spirit's always convicting. Condemnation is when you choose anything else over Christ. Condemnation will stagnate you, but conviction will move you. Condemnation makes you stay where you are or takes you backwards, but the convicting of the Holy Spirit will move you. And when the Holy Spirit moves you, it's never side to side and it's never backwards. Conviction will always move you to the Spirit, always move you to closer to the presence of God. Condemnation keeps you stuck in the same place. Conviction moves you to a better place. I've got just a couple minutes left here, and I want to go one more. The Holy Spirit, here's another purpose. The Holy Spirit is the source of revelation, of wisdom, and of power. The first power we talked about is the act of power. That there's literally something that happens physically that's not just a spiritual move, but when we say after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power, we're talking about power to move mountains. Power to heal all manners of disease. Power and authority to cast out devils. I believe the Holy Spirit does that for us. But now we talk about the Holy Spirit gives us the source, or is the source of revelation, wisdom, and power. Check this out. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. Capital S. Which means this. If you don't have the Spirit of God, there's revelations you're going to miss. Have you ever talked with someone that was in the same meeting that you were in, the same church service you were in, or the same conversation you were in, and when you left that meeting, service, or conversation, what they got out of it was totally different than what you got out of it? They had a different understanding and a different revelation. There are some people that will leave this building today and say, that preacher's out of his mind. That makes no sense. And they will go on their way in their life just like they walked in here today. But there will be somebody that doesn't even mention me that but will say, God revealed something to me today. God's word did something in my spirit, and in I never thought of that before. I never encountered that before. I read that verse and I never saw that before. Why? Because the Spirit, that's what it does. Things that God has revealed to us by the Spirit. The Spirit searches all things. Somebody say all things. Check this out. The Spirit goes on to say in verse 10, even searches the deep things of God. This is why the Holy Spirit matters. The depths of God, the Bible says that deep calleth to deep. There's a lot of superficial Christians that are expecting a supernatural move of God, but they want to stay in the shallow waters. To be saved and never filled with His Spirit is shallow waters. But to be saved and say, God, that eternally secures my forever. But now, God, for the next 80 years, I want your Spirit in me, on me, and around me so that I can do what you called me to do and be who you've called me to be. And the Bible says He fills us with His Spirit, but the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. If you want your Bible study and devotion every day to count and mean something, get full of the Holy Ghost, because you'll never read John 3:16 the same if the Spirit of God is revealing the deep parts of God and the depths of who God is. Goes on to say in verse 11, for who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So how would you know the thoughts of God? I am filled with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. If the Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God and we are filled with the Spirit of God, that means we have, check this out, the Spirit and the thoughts of God available to us. So, Pastor, why do we pray in the Holy Ghost? Because I'm praying the thoughts of God. When I pray in English, I'm praying the thoughts of Brandon. You message me on social media, Pastor, pray for my family. I'm praying your thoughts. Now, I know I'm praying the Word of God as my foundation. I'm praying them in faith. But, oh, when I start speaking in that other tongue, I start praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm not praying your thoughts. I'm not praying my thoughts. I'm not praying the Pope's thoughts. I'm not praying my favorite podcast preacher's thoughts. I am praying the thoughts of God. I'm praying, you're praying the thoughts of God. So why didn't God just tell us? There are some things that God is doing in your life and in my life that we're not ready for. If He told you on June 11th what He had planned next June of 2024, it would blow your mind, but it might scare you. It's so big. And so He said, before I reveal those to you, I just want the Spirit that is in you to begin to declare those things and to begin to pray those things. 1 Corinthians 2 gives us a brand new thought to Jeremiah 29:11. Stand on your feet, everyone in the house. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Jeremiah penned these words that God thinks about us. Three things he says that God thinks. God thinks peaceful thoughts about you, your family, your future. There is no evil in God's thoughts. That's why God does not give cancer. He only heals cancer. That's why God is not teaching you a lesson. Why? Because His thoughts about us are not evil. To give us an expected end, or one translation says an expected destination. Another translation says destiny. There's three things God thinks about. Peace, not of evil. And our destiny. But when you read Jeremiah 29, that's very ambiguous. Because all of our destination on this earth, we know our internal destination is heaven, but while we're working through things on this earth, our destination, our purpose is different. The valleys we go through are different. The mountaintop encounters are different. Jeremiah wasn't full of the Holy Ghost. He had the Spirit on him, but not the Spirit in him. We have the Spirit in us. So now when I know God's thoughts about me are peace, the Holy Ghost breaks down what those thoughts really are for my peace. See, what brings peace? Oh, there's a lot of things that brings peace. Good health brings peace. I hope she doesn't mind me sharing, but I've been on Pastor Mandy. She's a woman of faith, but I've been on her for 20 years. Since we got married, I've been on her. You need to go to the doctor every January, get a full battery of tests, because we live in a generation and in a time now where if they find something, they can most likely fix it. Pastor Mandy's stubborn, y'all. She hadn't been to the doctor for 20 years. 20 years! She was having some issues. I won't get into all those issues. But she went to the doctor after I said, you need to go. She went to the doctor, had all tests that they could think of, MRIs, scans, all of this. To sit in that doctor's office this past Thursday and him say, Miss Fender, you're as healthy as anyone I've ever seen. From your brain to your toenails, you are perfectly healthy. And you should have seen, she was cheesing so big on Thursday afternoon when she came home. She said, I just feel so much better because I know everything. What is that? It's peace. Jeremiah heard about the generic peace. But when you're full of the Holy Spirit and you're thinking God thoughts and you're entering the depths of God, he says, oh, I'm going to give you peace, but it's going to come in the form of health. It's going to come in the form of wealth. It's going to come in the form of wellness. It's going to come in the form of family. It's going to come. I'm going to bring peace, not of evil. Jeremiah just knew there's a destiny. But when you're full of the Spirit of God, that destiny starts taking shape. God says, this is where I'm taking you, exactly where I'm taking you. This is how far you're going to go. This is what you're going to do. This is who you're going to do it with. And the Spirit of God begins to lay out the pathway, the map, the plan of your life, all because you are full of the Spirit of God. It is giving us God knowledge, God wisdom, God's power. I want to open up the altar right now for those of you. I feel in my spirit that the conviction, condemnation, that there's somebody that needs to overcome that. The devil's been lying to you. Family members have told you. You know the reason you're going through that? Because of the sin in your life. You know the reason you're sick? Because of this. I'm here to tell you, don't let in-laws, mothers, fathers, don't let friends, don't let misguided church people tell you that because of your sin you got cancer. That is not how this thing works. Let me tell you, the devil hates you, steals from you, wants to kill you and destroy you. But Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life in abundance.